I just want to say I have no relationship to disclose. These are the folks who are working on this particular research project. Paulina Sucklow actually is the lead for this, and I'm all the way down at the bottom. So I want to talk first about our Real Talk program. That's our adolescent program. We focus on HIV, STI, pregnancy, and substance use prevention with high-risk adolescents. We focus specifically on youth who are living in the Capital District, which is in upstate New York, and yes, there's a whole state outside of New York City. Our youth are primarily African American and or Latino, and they are very, very high-risk teens. So I just wanted to give you an idea of the kinds of things that we do with those youth. It is a tech-based intervention with the youth. So there's multiple ways that we work with the teens. We have groups where we go into the communities where the youth congregate. So we might be in a Boys and Girls Club. We might be at a local library where when the teens get off the school bus, they end up at the library. We might be at a YMCA, but we take our technology on the road. We go to the teens where they are. We're also in an alternative high school and a middle school and a regular high school as well. What you see there are teens, so in the upper right-hand corner over here, that's our Hump Day event. Hump Day would be Wednesday, which is why it's called Hump Day. We did testing in the park. The teens identified this particular park and this particular location as being a high-traffic adolescent location for the youth that we're targeting in the Capital District. We ended up testing about 15 youth before we got rained out, and we had about 27 youth who were waiting to get tested, which is unusual. That's HIV and STI testing. We also created two PSAs that played on TV. The most recent one was designed to address the cultural barrier to females carrying condoms. They get a nickname, a thought. I don't know if that's sort of nationwide, but it stands for that hoe over there. And this is probably the first time you've ever been to a presentation where they use the word hoe. I'm going to drop the F-bomb later, just be prepared. So we also do guerrilla art. This particular guerrilla art activity, which is this one here, was during World AIDS Day, where the youth were addressing the barrier of adult-teen communication about sexual health. And we sort of invaded the Empire State Plaza and also broke into a workshop that was entitled How to Talk to Teens About Prevention, and teens were not invited, so we invited ourselves. The teens taped their mouths shut and carried their signs in and walked up to the adults who were there and tried to engage in a conversation with them with the tape over their mouths. They then went up to the front of the workshop and, with their signs, took the tape off and said, "Can you hear me now?" So that's the kind of guerrilla art activities that they might do. We also do multiple session work groups with the teens. So we have ATEC, which is a curriculum designed in collaboration with our youth. So we know it's teen tested and teen approved for all of the activities that we engage in. So that would be, for example, this is one of the groups down there participating in ATEC. It's an 8-session program that's focused on skill building, communication, healthy relationships, self-esteem, goal setting, decision making, that kind of thing. And it has one tech activity that's designed to reinforce the skills. So let's see what else. This is teens who are doing recruitment at a teen night at a local YMCA, so our youth advocate group. Their purpose is to disseminate our youth created tech projects, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that also because it does have bearing on the research project that we're engaging in. So Community Promise, which is a Debbie, was adapted to our target population. It was initially designed for MSM, and we took it and made it teen focused with a technology twist, I guess. There's two parts to that. One is the storyteller group, so our teens develop music, videos, cartoons. They've worked on our website. They've done a number of things where they create what we call iStories. So they are stories about teens who have thought about or have changed their behavior. It's based on the trans-theoretical model of behavior change. So they move from, or stages of change, you might have heard of that. They move from being, say, pre-contemplative, I'm not thinking about it, it has nothing to do with me, to being contemplative, oh, I am thinking about it now, but there are these barriers, or from contemplative to ready for action, for example. So all of the stories reflect that trans-theoretical model of behavior change and stick to the core elements of community promise. So then our youth advocate group, their primary purpose is to disseminate those stories, both online and in person. So what we do is we teach the teens videography, music development, video editing, storyboarding, cartooning, all of the things that they need to be able to create those projects while they're building their prevention skills. And then we also teach the teens how to use analytics to better disseminate their projects and to reach the target audience. Again, I want to stress that it is only for those individuals in the Capital District in upstate New York who are African American and Latino between the ages of 13 and 17. We also have, I'm going to whip through this last part because I know we're time constraints, we also have our community advisory board, which is made up of youth of our target demographic. They are not your youth leaders. They do not have those polished professional kinds of approaches to what they talk about and how they talk about it. They get together with members of the community, health service organizations, mental health service organizations, substance use organizations, schools, whoever wants to participate. Our community stakeholders come to the table, and our youth are the ones who advise those stakeholders in the best way to reach teens and keep them up to date on what the risk behaviors are. So earlier, they mentioned Molly, Mr. Jones mentioned Molly. When that became very popular, our teens were the ones to tell those healthcare providers and substance use providers that, yeah, this is hot right now, and helped them to craft messages to reach teens to reduce that use in the community. So we also have the Been There, Done That initiative, where we teach teens how to conduct interviews and how to do videography, and then the teens interview adults who have been there, done that. So they've interviewed individuals who have been formerly incarcerated, former commercial sex workers, people who have been have faced addiction issues. Crack is one of the big things that we've talked about in the past, or heroin. The teens have also spoken to a trans woman. They've also spoken to MSM, who has disclosed his HIV status, and another individual who's disclosed his HIV status and his Hep C status. And so the purpose of that is for the teens to hear from the adults how they got there and then what they're doing now that sounds differently or is different from what they had done previously and how that's playing out in their lives, so that the teens might recognize themselves in those initial behaviors and choose a different path. Our teens then and our adults market those videos online through social media sites. We also have HMU, which is Hit Me Up, for anybody who doesn't know that. That is our technology-based short-term case management program. The teens engage with us through messaging online, through texting, and our adults text back or message with them online rather than face-to-face, because there's a stigma in our communities about asking for or receiving help in any way, shape, or form. So that gives us a private forum, and they reach out to us. We don't reach out to them. And finally, we do HIV-STI testing in the communities, have test kit, will travel. We do rapid testing. We recently started doing couples testing. We not only do the testing, but we also have a personalized risk and harm reduction session with the individual to figure out what they want to do to reduce their risk, if anything. So to date, we've worked with approximately 630 youth. This is a five-year initiative through SAMHSA. And we are in year five now, so we've worked with about 630 teens. 92.7% of them are African American and or African American Latino. We have tested over 400 youth, and we have approximately just under 1,000 youth who follow us through social media. So now that you've got that foundation, let's talk about what you're really here to hear. We're creating a game. So we are creating a game, and we have sort of framed the youth as being the experts in this area. And this is a completely unfunded project that we are doing in conjunction and collaboration with Drexel University. So the game itself is trauma-based. It's a trauma-based approach using the self curriculum, and it is designed to also have a skill building and a piece of that. What you see here are the avatars that the youth identified as what they would most connect with. The initial avatars were very anime-looking, and they did not like those at all. And the feedback that they got was that they wanted some variety in the look of it, the hairstyle, the clothing, everything. They also, the initial avatars were very thin, and the girls really wanted to have what they called thicker young ladies, and they loved the hairstyles, by the way. And when we ran this particular version of the avatars by the youth, they could point to each one of those and go, oh, I know that person, oh, I know that person. So we know that this particular style is going to resonate with our target demographic. So why are we doing this particular approach? So as you have probably heard multiple times throughout this conference, you know, most of our youth in particular, because they are gang involved, have probably been sexually assaulted. Many of our young ladies in particular have disclosed that they have. Many of our youth are using substances. We don't ask them to change their behaviors, by the way. We meet them where they are at, and then as we work with them through using the trans-theoretical model, we see that behavior change happen naturally. But many of our youth would probably have at least four ACEs, probably more than that. And many of our youth have been sexually assaulted, so it's really important that we use that trauma-based approach in our game, and that we find a way to reach this particular audience that's difficult to reach. In addition, everybody's seeing those shrinking resources. So everybody is seeing you know, fewer health dollars available. We've had locally, at least, one of our middle schools has no health educators in the middle school, none. So they're not receiving health education, they're not receiving anything that's going to help them to reduce their risk, and our youth are sexually active. What we're seeing over the course of the last couple of years is an increase in chlamydia, teen pregnancy, before they hit the high school. So that's an important piece of why we are trying to reach our youth in this way, because they're not getting it in schools. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, there is a culture, among our youth at least, about asking for and receiving help. You can't. So, I'm going to have to whip through this because I talk too much. So also, we have the technology, and our teens use it. So this is our YouTube page where our videos are housed, and this is during a time when they're not in school, and the youth used their mobile phones and their tablets to view our videos. So we had 919 hits on our videos during that short period of time. They're not using their computers, they're using their phones, and they're using their tablets. So these are some examples of some of the games that are already up there, and when you ask the teens, they'll tell you that the language is not appropriate to them, it's not going to reach them, it's very medical, or it's very, as they put it, white, and it's not something that speaks to their culture, and it doesn't address their risk factors. So none of these really resonate with our youth. This is the only one that really kind of resonated. I think it's Harvard who put that particular one out. It's very cartoony, and it does have some skill building in the communication between the two pieces. So this is what we've done so far. Drexel University developed the proposal and submitted it. As I mentioned, it's unfunded. It was presented to the IRB. Drexel, because we are working with Drexel, which is out of Pennsylvania, and we're in upstate New York, everything was done remotely, so we had to do some training online that they arranged for. They went back to the IRB and said, okay, now we're trained, so we're good to go, right? And they said no. So then we had to do some more training for the staff, our Real Talk staff, and they are phenomenal staff, I just want to say, and went back to the IRB. We also had to tweak the consent and assent forms to account for literacy issues among our target demographic and their parents or guardians. So we presented that again to the IRB, and they approved our research proposal. So then Real Talk went to work. We recruited youth. We identified sites to hold our focus groups because it was important to us that we have multiple youth together to provide input on this. We revamped the consent and assent form, as I mentioned. We got, finally, after we incentivized a little bit, we got about 32 signed forms. And then we videotaped 4 sessions with the teens. That was to provide the folks at Drexel information and an idea of what the culture, the language, and the look of the youth were. So what we did for those sessions were, the first session was we took Pick Me, which is an interactive game that is part of our ATEC curriculum, again, teen tested, teen approved, that walks you through the first 3 months of a relationship. And we use that to sort of set the foundation for telling stories. Because we are funded by SAMHSA, we had to make sure that this was a story that showed that TTM change. So the youth developed a plot with that in mind. They also, in one of the sessions, developed the script for the game. And then in the last session, they developed the advice. And then the advice was sort of tweaked a little bit by Drexel to ensure that it included information from the SELF curriculum, which is the trauma-based curriculum that was designed to address safety, emotions, loss, and future. So this is the first draft of our game. I looked at it and went, oh, they're going to hate it. I don't know if you noticed, but I don't fit that target demographic, so of course they absolutely loved it. It's interactive, so the teens engage in it. They have to click next to move on to the next scene, I guess. It involves the bad friend, that's Maya, the trusted aunt, which is Auntie Yvette, and then the good friend, who's Tawny. It's about a relationship between the two main characters, and it's designed to address condom use and consequences for condom use. So along the way, you have the youth have the opportunity to make decisions about how they would react, and then they can play the game multiple times and see what the outcome is for each of those options. So if they choose to use condoms and insist on using condoms, then what's the outcome for that? If they give in and don't use condoms because they're on birth control, what's the outcome for that? And if they choose to end the relationship because their partner is pressuring them to engage in not use a condom, you know, what's the result of that? And also along the way, you can go to each of those advice individuals to get advice about what should I do next. So to wrap it up, next steps for this particular one is we just got this, so we've run it by about 10 youth so far. They love it. And I'm really encouraged by that. There's some tweaking that needs to happen based on the initial feedback from the youth. We're going to run it by some additional youth. I think it's really important to point out that you have to use the target demographic. You have to use the target demographic. We have adult minds. We don't fit the demographic, so we have to use them, and we have to frame them as the experts. You have to incorporate their language, and you have to incorporate their culture. That is so imperative if you really want to reach them. If you're using my culture, my language, I've lost them before I even open my mouth. So, and the other piece of advice that the teens wanted to make sure that we gave you folks was that they do not want to be hit over the head with a sledgehammer with that health message. They really want you to slide it in sideways. Make it kind of on the down low, as you know, some folks might say, to ensure. So what we're looking for at this point is some funding so that we can do some back-end analytics and also expand this and do some voiceover for it, because right now it's just textual rather than including language. And here's the contact information. Thank you very much.